Banigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner podcast, and with my along with my co-host, Brother historian Joe Hembrick, as well as the platform manager and producer of the show is Rashiki Maskani, and his effort is to bring truth to the people. He gave us this space, and we deeply appreciate him for all that he does to speak truth to the people first and speak truth the power, and just stand up and make a contribution to the forward flow of our Black consciousness and cultural manifestation, as well as our love and appreciation for each other. We want to welcome Sister Linda Shorter, who is a historian herself and writer and a longtime activists in Long Beach, Los Angeles, and now Florida, and working with people in Atlanta, just with the historical magazine, a museum of inventions of Black people that made a difference in the lives of everyone. We want to welcome Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana. Long-time activist, working with youth and working with the various community people in Louisiana, where he is just well respected at his job, and a long-time contributor to both the Conscious Corner as well as the Community Education Network. And as Rashiki Maskani said, he was one of his mentors. And we deeply appreciate and respect Brother Mashinda. We also have a special tune in with Brother Ayatollah Muhammad, who is a longtime activist, travel all over the country, lecturing to gangs and lecturing to programs to stop the violence, as well as uplift the young people's minds to a righteous lifestyle and understanding of who they are. Ayatollah is probably well known in almost all the state and some federal prisons from the standpoint of his work and his notoriety, working with many of the brothers in the prisons. With regards to trying to stop recidivism. So we want to welcome everyone thus far. We're going to talk about Kwanzaa, the symbols, and the hub and hinge in which Kwanzaa was created and what it stands on. This is Kwanzaa season, and we want to make sure that you know this is not, as I said last week, this is not a Black Christmas, was not created to take the place of Christmas. Most people that celebrate Kwanzaa celebrate both. Christmas is on the 25th. Kwanzaa is a celebration, whereas Christmas is a holiday, a holy, that's what holiday means, a holy day started by churches. And when they had so many members of the churches, it shut down towns and shut down communities, and eventually they pushed to get a date in which that day nobody worked and things of that nature. And of course it didn't get into commercialization today, but that's up to the people. They believe in reindeers and Santa Claus and gifts and things of this nature. You know, one thing we were told is young people, don't lie to your children. And the first thing they do One of the things they do is lie and take them to sit on somebody's lap. I don't care if it's a black Santa Claus or white, you should never lie to children. That's what psychologists say. But anyway, we'll get into that. But Christmas is celebrated by millions of people, both in America and around the world. So we just got to deal with and respect those that believe in that day, in that holy day, and practice their rituals from that standpoint. We're going to talk, like, you know, Kwanzaa is based upon, well, it's, as I told you last week, it started out of the Black movement in the 60s, where after the Watts Rebellion, many organizations popped up, and one and some old organizations reached their height, like the NAACP, Corps, and just all your civil rights organizations, as well as economic development, Black economic development organizations, reached their height because it was a Black movement, meaning Black people was moving toward Blackness and moving toward activism for social liberation. From that standpoint, so we definitely appreciate that work. And then out of it came a group called the Black Congress, in which they all met and they were discussing a Black United Front, and they were trying to discuss what would be on the agenda and what would be programs or activities that would bring them together. And, you know, like I told you, the Panther Party, I wanted to support this 10-point program. And they were a self-defense organization and an organization that monitored police and dealt with police violence. The second was the Urban League, as well as CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, along with NAACP. They were into integration and civil rights, but there was a group there called the US Organization that argued that the key crisis in Black people's life is a crisis of culture, views and values, ethics and morals. And out of that came the creation of what is called Operation Unity, and unity with diversity and unity without uniformity. You didn't have to wear the same thing as everybody. You didn't have to think alike, and you didn't have to have the same form of greetings. You know, it's all diverse. We are diverse people, and we have to recognize that. We have a class problem. Many Black middle class are comfortable, and they don't want to get into no issues. Many Black entrepreneurs and business people are Republican because of they fight for their taxes and they have property and things. You got many Black people who want to go back to Africa, and some want to develop African customs here. Well, the organization US was a culture nationally. In 1966, Dr. Karenga and the organization US, I said, we need a Black holiday to celebrate ourselves. They argued that the people that can't celebrate themselves is lost forever. They argued that we must have a Pan-African holiday. So he began to study, and he came up and introduced around 1966-65 Kwanzaa, which goes back to ancient history. The day of the fruits, or agriculture, they picked their foods at the end of the year, and they celebrated, as well as the Pan-African nationalist element that dealt with struggle. They argued that we must have a political struggle from without and a cultural struggle within. And that's how Kwanzaa was introduced. Many people thought that was a great idea in 1965, 66. But then, they I broke up the organization. Many of them went underground, some went to captivity. So it sort of died down in the early 70s. But as soon as Dr. Karenga got out of captivity on trumped up charges, he began to reignite Kwanzaa, and it is celebrated by over 40 million people worldwide. And some of the biggest celebrations are in various countries like Brazil and some parts of Australia and things of this nature. So that's how Kwanzaa got started. And what is the element that makes Kwanzaa a celebration, a 7-day celebration, starts on December 26th. And it goes all the way to January 1st. And each day, you celebrate one of the symbols of the Nguzo Saba. Nguzo Saba means seven principles. Seven principles. And they're listed right here on the left of the screen, in the brown. And, those are very serious symbols. They come out of a philosophy called Kawahila, which I study, and I've been studying it for 43 years. And because it's a philosophy. And you ask yourself a question, what do I do black? Do you follow a philosophy like Malcolm? Do you follow Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, W.E.B. Du Bois philosophies? Martin Delaney, Fannie Lou Hamer, what philosophy, principle, or activism that is black that you participate in? And, you have to ask that fundamental question. But anyway, let me go over the seven principles so that you'll know why they're the hub and hinge. They come out of the Kawahila philosophy, which is, as I told you last week, a philosophy that involves the best of African thought and practice. I'm going to say that again. The best of African thought and practice. An ongoing synthesis with constant exchange with the world. And that means that it's always evolution great. We always draw from historical people as well as contemporary people to add to the philosophy. And so, therefore, it's enriching. And as they say, if you practice some of these principles, some of the time, a whole new world will open up for you. The first principle is umoja. It's at the top of this. Can we make that bigger, Rashki? A point to it, if you got an arrow. Umoja. That's the top, at the top. Well, anyway, let me tell you what it says. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Why do they say strive for it? Because it's a struggle. Unity don't come naturally. And you have to develop principles of cooperation, principles of communication, principles of decision making, various dynamics that you began to work with. When you working with people, it's very challenging. And most of them have their own thoughts, their own practice, their own value. And it's hard to get them all together. We have different organizations we try to build unity with. You're not going to get everybody to be in unity. You always just deal with the willing. Because no group, no ethnic group or racial group have total unity. If anything illustrated that in America with the Civil War, the recent January 6th, and their political struggle for power, where they just demonize each other and fight and spend millions of dollars attacking each other constantly. So don't be thinking, well, why Putin? And they killed each other. They just don't call it white on white crime. When Hinckley shot Reagan, nobody said, well, why are white people shooting each other? Why is there so much white on white crime? When they had the mass shooting in Sandy Hook, where a white boy shot nothing but kids, they don't say white on white crime. But they convince black people to say, you know, black on black on black, you know, as a part of convincing you that that you have a sickness. Not only are you pathological, but you're pathogenic, that it's in your DNA to be violent toward each other. That don't even make sense. But anyway, unity in the first in the family. Family is the primary unit, the primary functioning unit, where love, education, prosperity, service, relationships began. You were born out of a relationship, your mother and father. Even if they ain't together now, they were together enough to make you. So therefore, relationships are critical. And that's with the family. The family must be organized, and you must institute various values and ethics in your children. At one time, we couldn't be in the same room with adults when they were talking. At one time, we had to be in before dark. At one time, we had chores. Everybody had to do work. Those were family, not only family discipline, but also showing you that families must work together to be prosperous and to work together in endeavor and appreciate your mother and father. Some scriptures say, so your days will be long. And then even in Roots, when Kenta Kunte was born, took the baby out and pushed and held him up to the sky and say, behold to that which is greater than you. And that's a very important dynamic with regards to understanding the importance of family. Second, community. Commune means finding a sense of coming together to work together as a community. We all have the responsibility to make our neighborhoods safe, clean, and organized. Not just city government. We put pressure on them to give us the resources or to have certain days they clean, take the trash out, or pick the trash up, and those things. But the primary thing is, from the standpoint of the community, a block club, community watch, the first police in this country were day watchmen, night watchmen. They were volunteered for it. Of course, they had to have it because they were stealing from the Native Americans and they were afraid that they'd get attacked. But at the same time, we are in America, and we had to do that at one time with the Deacons for Defense, the Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, provided security for community and personal security. So we secured ourselves, and that's critical with regards to community. Sharing, we could borrow sugar flour from your neighbor. It wasn't an embarrassing thing. Many of us grew up sharing. One of the greatest values of a people is to share goodness and share your prosperity. And then the other one is in the nation. As most people say that, you know, to build a nationhood, a sense of speaking to the world in unity, and then speaking to the world in a collective ideology and philosophy that you build yourself around, and you expand the family to the community, and the community forms a nation. Nations that develop defense mechanisms, economic mechanisms, and educational mechanism and social values and ethics. And so that's why Malcolm called for Black nationalism. And what did that mean, a Black nation? Well, we buy Black goods, Black, and that we educate our own, and that we don't mean they don't go to other schools. Primary education unit is the home, and you teach them about their reality. You know, very few parents sit down and talk to their kids about racism. Some are talking to them about violence and police now, but about really the history of our struggle, the history of how did we get to this point. You know, here we are, Karen Bass, the mayor. Hakeem Jeffrey is the minority speaker of the House and Congress. You got Cory Booker, who's a United States senator. You got a Black governor and Black state elected officials. You got Shirley Weber in California, Secretary of State being elected. These are people that were denied the right to vote. Denied the right to vote. It's just like watching Black quarterbacks. There was a time Black people couldn't be quarterback, linebacker, or center in professional football. Now you got Black coaches. You don't have Black owners yet, but that's coming. It's a struggle. But look how far we have come from that standpoint. And when we try to do it ourselves, they come and they use economic incentives to absorb, like, with the Globetrotters and the Negro Professional Basketball League, the Negro Baseball, all of them were absorbed into European baseball and American baseball. Because, you know, we were doing our own thing. And, you know, some people say Sears and Roebuck, that Roebuck was a watchman. And that's where Sears and Roebuck came from. One store, a Black man owned a franchise at one time. It just that has grown in many ways. But you know, the point is that we've come a long way, but we didn't get there out of the good heart of white folk. It was hard work and hard struggle. And then when they couldn't take you over, they burned you out. And that's what Black Arkansas, Black Wall Street was about. And other small towns where Black people lost their land, even the beachfront property in Huntington Beach, in Manhattan Beach. The Black people struggled for almost 100 years to get it back, and they finally got it back. We struggled to get out of Holocaust of enslavement for 100 years. Many of our relatives that struggled never got to realize the fruits of their efforts. So we pay homage to that when it comes to nation. The next principle is kujichagulia, or self-determination. Umoja means unity. That was the first principle. Kujichagulia means self-determination. And it says to define ourselves, name ourselves, create ourselves, and speak for ourselves instead of being defined, created for, and spoken for by others. Now, you know, white folks stole a lot of the patents that Black people had and their contribution with regards to scientific innovations and other forms of creativity, from music to arts and to the whole health scene, homeopathic methods and all that. The most important thing is that we come a long way, but to define yourself. Black liberation is to free ourselves so we can be ourselves. So that if we want to wear dashikis, We can wear dashikis or African clothing without people calling it garb or outfit or where you going dressed like that. Or you can wear that, in this state they passed a law called the Crown Law that says that people couldn't discriminate if you want natural hairdo. Why was that necessary? Because of the racism and discrimination. Many of us, it flatters white people when we dress up like them, name our children after them. If they measure their mind control power on what we do culturally. And if we still emulating them, when it comes down to Leslie Sykes and Brother Brown on Channel 7, those are professional English speakers. They studied English, they trained to speak and pronounce white folks' language in that way. We tried to introduce Ebonics. Ebonics was not about speaking broken English or black English or anything like that. It was about teaching black people Eurocentric English as a second language and not punishing them for their African retention and cultural retention in the way they speak and how they saw words. And it was about, just like they have bilingual for the Latino, and they have what they call ESL, English as a second language. There was plenty of money going there. And when we tried to say that black people needed Ebonics money, they wouldn't do it. They just flunk them off, put them in special ed, because, they would pronounce words what they think, or even have the nerve to go get a speech therapist to get them to learn how to teach. This is common. So the whole concept of determining yourself. I changed my name in 1974 because I changed. People wanted me to change it in 1970, 72, but I hadn't changed yet as a person. I got the values and the ethic and living up to the name. The name means something. If names didn't mean something, the way you dressed didn't mean something, the Pope wouldn't dress up the way he was. Nation of Islam and Muslims wouldn't dress the way they do. Because your dress is a statement. Your name is a statement. It gives you ethnic or racial identity or ideological identity. Many black people changed their name to Muslim's name. Kareem Jabbar, Abdul Rahman, Walter Hazard. Many sisters, Shirazada Ali, Muhammad Ali, all of them changed their names, and then they start naming their kids Muslim names. Now you see them pro football, basketball, Muhammad this, and Ali this, and it's just a Shahid this, and an Ayatollah this, and this and that. That's a beautiful thing to see, the freedom that they express. So to name yourself and create for yourself, I mean, that's what we have to do. You look at what the challenges we face as a people. What the Johnson did with Ebony Magazine, what Berry Gordy did with Motown. Everything has not been created. You had the Black Enterprise by Brother Graves. You had Sepia. You have this different things can be created. So we look for that. The third principle is Ujima, collective working responsibility to build and maintain our community together and to make our sisters and brothers' problems our problems. And to solve them together. There's no way we should be worried about our kids walking to school No, Ayatollah and me and all of us, we walked the school. We walked the party. There was no drive-by. You may get a bumper jack thrown at you. There was no none of that. But the point is that that whole concept of loving each other and developing strong relationships. Now, we had street gangs that were not violent. They had car clubs, the Monza, the Volkswagen Club, the Hog Club Buicks, 55 Buicks, but all they were decorating their cars and partying. But now you got street gangs that are into organized crime, and they make big money. But the point is that America's a crime breeding country anyway, and then they encourage you to commit crimes, then they arrest you, like Malcolm said. They sell you liquor, then arrest you for being drunk. They sell you drugs, and then arrest you for using drugs. That's what it is. But anyway, so that whole concept of Ujima is collective work and responsibility. You train your children to work with the family. They're part of the family. And you have regular meetings, just like it's a corporation. And you reassure them, you try to bring stability in your youth life. You can't, some people have to move a lot. But, those that are homeless and those that have economic issues, those are our problems, not just the country problems. And we have to develop processes and programs to solve those problems in our community. But organizing your family, keeping them strong, and keeping them focused, and keeping them developing a loving relationship where they love the family more than they love D Dog, Wild Dog, or C Dog. Love the streets. And they follow your directions. You tell them don't drink, don't take pills from anybody. You understand? If they're not a doctor or a relative, you do not take pills because it's too much. Kids over and dealing with that fentanyl. And so that's very important. Education thing. And so that's what you have on the agenda when you sit in that meeting. You give them a chance, you ask them, say, hey, you having any problems in the issue? Anybody bothering you, touching you inappropriately? Bothered if you're a girl or a young lady, or even if you're a boy, a man, teacher, or a man in the neighborhood that offer you candy or offer you a ride and then mess with you, you let us know. No fighting at school, no fighting other black people. Get away from that. No cheering and going to watch fights when fights break out. This is your family, what you tell them. You may be in the world, but don't be of the world. What you want is not to send your kids out and they come back strange. You want them to go out and people admire and respect them. And you be known in the neighborhood for raising well-disciplined and focused children. Okay. Then the next principle. Which is the fourth principle, Ujamaa, cooperative economics. To build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them. That's a very hard thing to do. There's over 800,000 businesses in California. And I think African Americans have something like 50, 50. Maybe 500. There's 800,000. I think we have 500. Well, a lot of it's because they don't give us loans. They don't allow us. You see all these food trucks. Now, some black people are getting food trucks, but if we would have done that, they would have suppressed ours. But it allowed the Latino to do it. And I mean, I can't get mad at them, for that. I mean, that's co-op. That's their way of feeding their families and working. And if you, I don't go to no food truck personally, because I'd rather eat at home and cook it myself than get food from a food truck and even fast food places. But the point is that we want to open up stores, businesses, shops. We used to have plenty of them: shoe shine store, barber shop. There's a lot of business, even insurance business. We had black banks. We still have a few. So the point is that it's a little, sometimes they're a little further out, but you don't have to put all your money in it, but you can open up accounts in these black financial institutions and try your best to shop at black stores and black businesses. One time, downtown Compton had at least six black businesses up and down the street. So those are important things. The other thing, the next is, the fifth principle is NIA, purpose. What is your purpose in life? To do good and bring good into the world. And as they say, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. How did the people that built the pyramid end up in projects? How did the people that named the stars and sun and built the first pyramids without that was so precise mathematically, they can't do it now? How did black people who had doctors, educated people on the continent, all of a sudden told them that they can't read or write? What is their real purpose in life but to make your children live a better life than you, but at the same time have value methods to help others? Because that's what purpose is. Purpose is to do good and bring good into the world. The sixth principle is Kaumba, creativity. To do always as much as we can, in whatever way we can, in order to leave our community more beneficial than we inherited. Environment, be respectful to where you live. Be respectful to your creativity from the standpoint of imagination. I mean, that's why Linda Shorter saw a need for a museum on black history, inventions that benefited black people and other people in the world. So she went out and started creating it online, and she has a number of books out. It's just like Sister making it happen. Black women wellness. They saw a need, and they created it and worked with it. Became board members. It's a beautiful thing to see that happen. The last is faith. To believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and in the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Without struggle, there's no progress. This is what Frederick Douglass said. How long ago that was. Why did he say something like that? Because struggle is, as I said, we struggle to be ourselves and to free ourselves so that we can be ourselves. So it's a beautiful thing with regards to faith. And we believe in the Most High, a spiritual. Some people may want to call him God, but someone will call him Jesus. Those are just names, but what they mean is a higher power that could contribute to your consciousness, your spiritual well-being. I mean, people can hardly heal you physically, but they can heal you spiritually. And they can have you upbeat, even if you are have a devastating disease or devastating handicap, you can still have a beautiful healing spirit. Faith is a powerful thing. And so it's up to you to choose your faith. But at the same time, you can't question the universe. I think Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan, he always said, look at my sun, look at my moon, look at the moon that the Creator did, how fast the earth spins around. And you think you're standing still. Where? Look at the rain, look at the four seasons, look at nature. And Joe Henry would say, you know, have faith in all of that. So those, this is the oven end in which Kwanzaa celebrates itself. That's what Kwanzaa is about. The practicing it year-round and celebrating your practice on January, I mean, from December 26th to January. Now, Rasha Key put up the Kwanzaa picture and I'm gonna go over the symbol and then we can ask questions unless people wanna ask questions right now before we deal with the symbol. I promise it won't be that long. Any questions right now? Mashenda, you have any questions? Linda, you have any questions? You're on mute, Linda.
I'm muted now. No, I do not have any questions. I'm just listening, trying to write notes.
Okay. Sister Making It Happen, Dr. Shabazz.
Greetings. Hey, everyone. No questions. Just listening in
Okay.
to the information. Sounds really good.
Brother Ayatollah.
Professor Ra, could
Yes.
you reiterate again on the creation of Kwanzaa and the significance of Mahalana in establishing this situation for us here in the wilderness of North America?
Yes, as I said, Dr. Kering in 1965, this is right after the Watts Rebellion, he said the key crisis in Black people's life is a culture crisis, a crisis of values and views. Culture is a unique dynamic. Culture is the practice of a cult. That's why it's called culture. He saw that we must develop an emotional commitment to be ourselves and develop rituals and practices to celebrate ourselves in those seven areas that I just elaborated on that came out of the Kawita philosophy. There have been many people who say that, oh, you know, somebody else saw that this was practiced in Africa a long time ago, and he didn't do this, he didn't do that. But because I was there, and I wasn't a part of the organization, us, but I was part of Young Men for Total Democracy, Bob Simmons, nature. But we remember him in the Black Congress, which I was security for, introducing the concept of a Black holiday. And that's how it got started. And as I said, Black people liked it. Well, at first thought I was just a few practicing it. Then it was expanding up into the 7, 69, 68. Then COINTELPRO broke up all the organizations and people to begin to sabotage it, talking about it's a Black Christmas and all of that. But you ask the people, you know, why is there two A's in Kwanzaa? You know, and Dr. Karenga, we had a children program and we had seven children. And so therefore, we, at first Kwanzaa was spelled with just one A, and that's the way it is in Swahili, which means first fruits. And then in order so that seventh kid would not feel left out, they put that A in. So that's how Kwanzaa all over now is spelled with two A's. Second, from the standpoint of going over the symbols, there's if you look at the fruit on the side of the cup, the unity cup, there's no grapes. Because at that time, you can use grapes now, but at that time, we were in solidarity with Cesar Chavez, and he called for Black people to join him in a grape boycott. And so that year, and for many years after, when we celebrated Kwanzaa, we didn't put grapes out. And then at the same time, you know, you ask the people, well, who, if you don't think he invented Kwanzaa, who invented the Nguzo Saba? Who created the Nguzo Saba? He don't like the word invented, but created. That's why he got the creator of Kwanzaa, not the inventor of Kwanzaa. And he says creation. So after he got out of captivity and Huey had to leave, of the Panthers, Cleaver had to leave and go to different countries and hide out. Ashana Shakur, she had to leave, and she's still gone. Ashana Shakur, she was in prison for a police killing a state trooper in Virginia, and they had sentenced her to prison. And these brothers came up with an idea of how to get her out, and this is what makes America still mad, because they got her out of prison. The way they did it was that this brother, and I'll get his name in a minute, he came up with an idea that he found how to get transfer papers from the prison, and he duplicated those transfer prison. Then they went and got a prison guard's uniform, and they went into the prison. Said they had to take her to another prison. And so they released her. But these were these brothers doing it. And that's how she broke out of prison. And Cuba has given her asylum for over 50-something years. And she's in Cuba right now. We used to have signs, Asada can stay here. I used to have one, and you know, meaning she could stay in our houses. But, you know, they were so mad that his brother, for his involvement in it, because he was one of the first brothers that dealt with homeopathic treatment. And then they arrested him and said he designed this successful armored car robbery. He was a part of RAM, which is the Revolutionary African Movement. He was a member of the Black Liberation Army. I mean, this brother, he had one of the toughest minds. One of the reasons they had to assassinate Malcolm and Martin Luther King was not for their activism, because you had other people active, and they got it. It's their minds, the way they think. They call it heresy. And they put this brother in prison for 60 years. He just got released recently because he's dying of cancer. And they called it some kind of release, a sympathy release. But this brother had one of the greatest Black minds and thinker. So they blamed him for coming up with the plan to get a solid secure out, as well as his just great mind in organizing and moving the people, just like Martin Luther King had one of the strongest Christian movements in this country. But still, that's how Kwanzaa got started, a creation by Black people. It's sustained by the organization. Now it's practiced and celebrated by over 40 million people worldwide. And even some mainstream media included with the what they call the winter solstice holiday season. You'll hear a lot of Black people, news commentators, and even some white, saying Kwanzaa is about to start on the 26th. Some people want to come up with different styles, but I'll get into that. But there's a sacredness to Kwanzaa that Dr. Kering, but that's how that started, Brother Ayatollah. You know, and you know, it, when he got out of captivity, he rebuilt his organization. Matter of fact, it was Merv Dimely that helped him get out and had his sentence shortened. And he started teaching part-time, where he got two doctorates, one from the International School of San Diego University and one from SC in philosophy and ethics. And people didn't know that Marlana grew up in a little small country town in Baltimore, in Maryland, not Baltimore, in Maryland. And he came up with the country. His father was a preacher. And, you know, they made him go to church and do all those things as a Christian. And he learned a lot about sitting around listening to those people. But he's one of the, Merv Dimely said he's one of our greatest minds when it comes to it. He wrote the mission statement for the Million Man March. He wrote the mission statement for the Black Power Movement because of his writing skills and thinking skills. And so, that's my honor. But that's how Kwanzaa got started. With the US organization, Dr. Kering. All right. Any other questions? Rasha Key? You on mute.
No, I'm good. I'm listening and enjoying all the good information.
Okay. So let's go over these principles. One of the let me get it organized. One of the first principles is called the mazazo, the mazizo, which is called the crops, the fruit. It's all in this basket to the left. That's one of the first principles, and that's one of the first symbols of Kwanzaa. Is the first fruit, so fruits is the first principle. You know, Kwanzaa means first day fruits and things of that nature. The second principle symbol is called the Makika. The Makika is symbolic of our tradition and history and the foundation. That's the mat. The mat, you know, that you have. It's generally a weave straw mat that all the other symbols sit on. And so that's what they mean, Makiba. So you first start getting some fresh fruit. They don't like artificial fruit. You're supposed to get fresh fruits and change it within the 7 days if it start to get too ripe. And, you know, you put a net over it to keep insects from messing with it, but you want fresh fruit. And the Makika is the mat, the foundation. As he said, Kwanzaa is the second principle. Symbol is the Makika, the mat, symbolic of our tradition and history, and thus the foundation on which we build our lives. Have to have a foundation of culture and values that you have. So that's what the Makika is about. Then there is what is called the Panara. And that is the holder of the candle. It must be of an African image or African art that reflect Afrocentric customs and traditions and values and beauty and symbolism. And so that's why you had it not. Other groups, other religious groups have it, but Kwanzaa is not a religious group. And Kwanzaa Kanara go way back before there was religious groups. The black people practiced in the pyramids. They had various forms of Kanaras and things of that nature. But at the same time, it's the candle holder that they wanted. The next symbol is the Mashuma Saba. The Mashuma Saba is the seven candles. Three green, three red, and one black. And then on December 26th, they generally have a candle lighting where the founder talks about the founder's statement of that year and theme. The first candle you light is the black candle, because that symbolizes the people and represents black people. And then the next candle you light the next day, which would be Kuji Chakalia, you light a red candle. And that's because of the struggle that we're in, the struggle to free ourselves so that we can be ourselves. And against all enemies of us that are trying to culturally rape us and just oppress us and keep us from being ourselves and being free in this country. And then the next day is green. And that's the one in which we celebrate. The beautiful thing about the green, it represents our future, our vision for the future. You know, you have to have a vision for the future. You talk to your kids, and Rasha Keys, Joe Hembrick, and teachers always say, where you going to be in 4 years, 5 years, you know? And sometimes you have what is called different forms of celebrations of maturity that your children grow in. You understand, rites of passage. Brother Ayatollah had one of the most beautiful rites of passage for his son that I've ever seen, where he got a nice dinner, family and friends was there, and he had me and Omar Bradley as guest speakers, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful program that he put together. Right there on Stanford at this brother who turned his house into almost like a place where you can have events. And everything was just excellent. And I use his as a model for my own children as far as raising them to go through the rites of passage, not only for men, but also for women. So the seven candle holders. So you light red, you black first, red, green, and each day you light a candle, red. The next, after you light the green, when you go back to the red and you go back to the green until the 31st. Now, December 26th, as I was saying, they have what they call candle lighting ceremony, where they have music, dance, food, guest speakers, solidarity speakers. I've been one for the last 20, 30 years at the African American Culture Center until COVID came. So we do it on Zoom now. And I still speak. Me, Molly Bell, and a number of community people from the continent and from activists within the community. From that. And that's what the seven candles are about. The next principle is the Mashinda, the corn. You have ears of corn that represent how many children you have. So if you had three children, you'd have three ears of corn. If you have four children, you have four ears of corn. If you only have one child, you have one ear of corn. But it represents the children. And as he was saying, From that standpoint, the Mashinda corn, more specifically, ears of corn are another symbol of Kwanzaa. They are symbolic of our children, and thus our future, which they embody. As Mr. Faircon once said, children are diamonds in the rough, and we must polish them to make them shine. I remember that as one of his lectures, which I attended. And he's so right. You got to have more, your kids got to love you more than they love. They do righteous things. The mark of raising a good kid is not how he act with, when he's with you. It's how he act when he ain't. So that's a with you. That's one of the measures. The next one is the Kikombi Cha Umoja. That's the unity cup. That's that cup right by the fruit that you see. The unity cup that symbolizes unity and us in the community. The unity cup is symbolic of the foundation principle and practice of Umoja, unity, which makes all else possible. The Kikoka is used to drink from after a statement of unity in a ritual of reinforcement of the principle and practice. That's beautiful, you see? And so, you know, we look at that and we have to, you know, understand that Kwanzaa is sacred. Not to be, you don't put plastic candles up with imitation light. You use natural candles, a real candle, and things of this nature. You try to practice Kwanzaa the way the Creator invented it. You know, you ask the question, can white people celebrate Kwanzaa? Well, as the Creator of Kwanzaa said, can white people celebrate Black people? Because that's what Kwanzaa is, a celebration of Black culture and Black principles and values. Okay. The next principle is the Zawadi, which means gifts. You don't go out and spend a bunch of money. You give them an African gift, maybe a sculpture, maybe a book, or maybe some type of jewelry or things of this nature. But it must reflect Africa or the Black experience from the standpoint of its artistic thing. Then there are supplemental symbols, which is called the bendera, which is a flag, the Black, red, and green flag that you see under the table. You don't have to have that, but that's a part of the symbol. As well as the Nguzo Saba, which is right there on the side. You don't have to have that, but if you want to supplement, it'd be more expansive and all that. And you can also have an African symbol next to the candles or African symbols and things of this nature. So that's what the symbols mean, and that's why Dr. Kamrenga I wrote the book. This is the authoritative text on Kwanzaa, written by Dr. Kamrenga, A Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture. One of the best-selling books out of the head Kalu, which means sacred space. It's just a beautiful thing from that standpoint. Any questions? Any questions? Linda?
Yeah, you saw my man. Yes, I just only have one quick question because that was excellent. Mm. My only quick question is, I've done celebrations with community. Now, what's the process with lighting the candles? I know it's the Black first, but I've been in situations with community where you always choose the elder in whoever's in the room to be the person to light the Black candle. Is there another process?
Well, you can use an elder. You can use most people use a child and an elder, or a child and an adult. The child lights the candle, and the adult reads the one of the Umoja principle of the Nguzo Saba. But there are some people who would say, because one of the elders give me permission to speak. You know, there's a lot of rituals people come up with. But for Kwanzaa, you know, it's a participatory type of thing where you take a youth, male or female, they light the candle. And sometimes you have two youth, one light the candle and one read the principle by which the day that they are lighting the candle on the one of the candles. It's for, Umoja, Uji Chakalia, Njima, Ujima, Neo, Creativity, and Imani. So that's the way that goes. But yeah, like you said, there are people that allow elders. What you don't want is to let other people of different races have a major role. They can celebrate it with you, but they can't go into the synagogue and try to tell them how and can I participate in Hanukkah or any of their religions. And same thing with Christian situation. You don't let anybody just give you your crackers and grape juice, you know, with regard to communion. And so that's the way they look at it. They practice it in a sacred way, in a meaningful way. All right?
Yes, thank you. I have one other question. The unity cup. And if you're in the same setting with the community, what is the process or have you seen what people do with the unity cup? Do you pass it around or do you pour it?
Generally they have that where as people that are part of the program may drink something, but I've never seen them drink from together. They generally, it's not like a toast to anything, but it's more of a symbolic cup from that standpoint. It represents unity. I've been to a lot of Kwanzaa where people, it's not like we pass a cup around. We just let them know what that cup is for.
Yeah, and if I may chime in, greetings, everybody. Usually it is a symbolic thing and they'll give you a cup or something. Everybody have their own individual cups to participate in the unity ceremony.
Yeah, some people do that, and which is right. And then the maybe one person would drink out the unity cup and everybody else would drink out the cup as a sister making it happen. Have some other type of cup in front of them that would participate in that level. Any other questions? Well, Roger Key, this has been a beautiful day. And we want to thank you for providing us this platform. I want to thank Linda and Sister making it happen, because they make it happen. You understand, for their commitment to the program. We will be launching a new and more expansive and in-depth program next year, where we're going to have some more exciting guests as well as discussions of what's good in the community, what's front line in the community. There's so many things that happened this week. Ronald Green out of Louisiana, the police beat him to death, but when they wrote the report, they said he died in an accident. His mother, Mona Hardin, said she wouldn't give it up. So 2 years later, someone leaked the video that showed them beating him, dragging him, tasing him. And, so five police officers have been indicted. And as the old folks used to say, what's done in the dark will sometime come to light. And that came to light, these four officers. Then there was Brother Walker, who was Breonna Taylor's a boyfriend. He won a $2 million settlement from Kentucky state. From that standpoint in Kentucky, where he says he's going to use some of the money to give people scholarships so that they can go to school, law school, for the purposes of fighting for social justice. And the other good news is, and that was Kenneth Walker. The other good news is this sister named Anna Tiana Fitzjefferson out of Fort Worth, Texas. She was in her home with her nephew playing video games. A neighbor from across the street saw the door open and called the police for a welfare check. This police officer named Aaron Dean was looking in the window and saw her. And she went to get a shotgun because, you know, she heard something outside. He never announced he was a policeman. Within 4 seconds, he shot and killed her. And he'd been indicted for manslaughter. It took 3 years, 3 years of struggle with her family and friends and activists that united the community around that. And that's in Fort Worth, Texas. Then Charles Drew Medical School, good deed, says that they're going to have a special program to train doctors to work in the Black community and to help get them to graduate and to get their practice and do their internship in the Black community and hopefully work in the Black community. Then there was this brother named Maxfield Furman. He met with the Commission on Reparations for the state, and he said Black people should get every Black Californian should get $350,000, and then every Black business in California should get $250,000. Which, people want some money, so there it is. But those were some of the good deeds and frontline reports that we have. And it's just good to see our people struggling and not giving up, with or without the masses, with or without media, and winning. And that's the beautiful thing. Okay, Rashki?
Yeah, I was going to show that article that you sent right here. There it is.
Yeah. Black people should get
$350,000. Yeah.
Well, I have to use it. Yeah, I can use it. All right, what's on Wednesday, Roger King?
We got Dr. Charles Alexander, the clinical psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dr. Alexander, and I'm going to interview him.
Okay.
Yeah. Licensed clinical psychologist.
Is that the one in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so we have
him. He's very conscious. Yeah. All right. Then anything happening in Florida?
No, nothing compared to this, nothing.
Well, y'all had flood, and y'all survived it.
Yeah, we did. Except the weather's going to be in the 20s next week.
Oh, wow. Just to make it happen, anything happening in the school district or at Lemur Park? Are you there, Dr. Shabazz? All right, I guess you stepped away.
No, please. I'm here. I'm here. My daughter is having this engaging conversation with me, but I'm sorry. Have a good night, you guys. Thank you. Kwanzaa is important. And, you know, I'm excited for where we're going. And I'm looking forward to 2023. So peace.
All right. Okay.
Right. Well, each one teach one in Conscious Corner.
All right. We'll see you Wednesday, brother.
All right.
Thank you all, everybody. Have a great rest of the week.
You also.